Welcome back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. These are Bad Batch Fridays, where we discuss every episode of the third and final season of The Bad Batch. Today, it's a twofer, so we're super excited. We get episodes 6 and 7, Infiltration and Extraction, and we're also very excited to have a special guest, Claire Stribling from the Imperial Senate podcast. Welcome to the Triad.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here. This has been a long time coming.
It has.
But I made it. We made it.
What I realize is that it's so much easier when you just send calendar invites.
Seriously, if it's not in my calendar, if I don't get 19 reminders that it's going to happen and when it's going to happen, I will not be able to do it. Straight up. That is how I thrive. So thank you. Google Calendar, you're speaking my language.
It's taken me many, many years. You'd think that as a grown adult with a job, I would realize that just send the calendar.
But
it took me 3 years of podcasting to realize that the same things that work in podcasting.
We made it there.
And this is the first time, is it the first time? I think it's the first time on the podcast that we have two Chicago people. Well, I'm not a Chicago person, but I live in Chicago. But two people that live in Chicago simultaneously on the podcast. Isn't that great? We're in the same time zone.
That's right. Shy City, Malort Baby, Da Bears. What other things can I throw out that are stereotypes?
Blackhawks, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, there we
go. Cubs, White Sox, all the things. Barack Obama. Michelle Obama.
Telling me, yeah.
Anyway, that's it. That's all you need to know about Chicago. And the bean. That's it.
It's like you've been there.
It's like I've been here for 8 years. Jesus Christ. Anyway, enough pleasantries. Let's get to meet you now.
Time for the unpleasantries. Just kidding.
Yes, that sounds like fun. I know you. Nani hasn't met you because Nani hasn't gone to celebration. I've gone to celebration. I've seen you here in Chicago, but like for people that are listening, that we've been, you know, scheduling snafus. We've been trying to get you on. Hasn't happened, but now you're finally here. So for people that aren't, you know, like familiar with you, Claire, and Imperial Senate podcast, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself. So before we get into like infiltration and extraction, tell us a little bit about your Star Wars journey so that people that don't know you can get to know you.
Wow, this is exciting. So for those who don't know you, hi, my name is Claire. I'm a Star Wars-aholic. Basically, my Star Wars journey started from when I was a little kid and I was super into the toys. I have two older brothers and they all had the Star Wars action figures. And it was like one of those things where, you know, I was playing with my brother's toys constantly. I was like not as much into the Barbies, more so into the Hot Wheels and the Star Wars action figures. Yeah. And then one day my dad was like, have we shown you these movies? And I was like,
they're
attached to a movie. Excuse me. the what now? And so we sat down in a weekend and we watched the original trilogy. And then I was, to my dad's now at this point, complete and utter horror, completely addicted ever since. So
thankfully your dad's a cool guy though.
He is really cool. Yeah, you met him. You had goose at dinner with my dad, which was fun.
That's awesome.
Hey, you guys want to go have dinner with my parents?
I'm like, yes.
Definitely sure. Didn't argue about bombs falling down in space. He's a great man, but he's got some faults and that'd be one of them. But you know, from that point on, just completely hooked and addicted and never ever looked back. I've been on the Imperial Senate podcast since Rebels territory.
Much too long.
I know. I've been on the internet talking about Star Wars for years.
With Nikki and Charlie.
I've been growing up with these clowns, Nikki and Charlie, on the Imperial Senate podcast. That was so much fun. Met them at Star Wars Celebration 2017 in person and just, you know, fell in love with those guys and found my community in Star Wars. And be like, oh, wait, there's other people that also carried around Heir to the Empire in their purse at high school. Cool. Not just me. I have other weirdos. Yes. Yes. And then so that was super awesome. And then going to celebrations and conventions and stuff like that, I met more people through Star Wars, and I met the Broaxium guys, mm-hmm. who are also like brothers to me and sisters. Raven, I love you. So I've been doing both those podcasts now. I covered Dr. Aphra for Broaxium, which was so cool, and I'm so sad and lonely without her now. But yeah, that's kind of, I don't know, that kind of is my Star Wars journey. I've done a couple different shows and love little weirdos. I love Salacious Crumb. So anybody else who's a monkey lizard stan, just come find me and we'll talk about him. And I will, you might get sick of me talking about him, but I will.
I'll do it.
Don't tell me. A great abridged version.
Excellent. That is a good abridged version. I was like, oh God, Cliff Notes.
And it's great because it's 199 how we're talking about right before Bad Batch review started. We were like, when that Star Wars YouTuber that we shall not name had that guest on that was alleging, right, that women don't like or watch Star Wars. I was just like, oh, what a great opportunity to just schedule a whole bunch of like amazing content creators that just so happen to be women that just so happen to love Star Wars. So
it's all an act, folks.
Yeah.
You heard it first.
Kathleen Kennedy. Kathleen Kennedy's paying you guys.
Yeah. Don't check my bank account for how much money I've actually spent on this.
Not as much as you're getting paid by Lucasfilm.
That's true. That shill money's still coming strong.
The Force is female after all.
That's right.
But you know, we can keep bashing that person till the cows come home, but we won't.
Not enough time in the day.
But we won't.
Not enough time
today. We're here to talk about infiltration and extraction, which kudos for choosing these two episodes because they were bangers.
I don't know,
all the episodes have been bangers, let's be honest. You know, let's cut the chatter. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of it. Nani, you just came home from school. You're probably decompressing. So what better way to turn your brain off from thinking about law than to be thinking about the Bad Batch?
Yes.
Let's just take the two episodes as a whole. What was your reaction to both of them?
I've been super excited because I have been enjoying the season so much. It's so annoying, really, when people complain about like slow episodes, maybe last week's, which I thought was super deep and just really enjoyable. So maybe this one's that were both action packed will shut people up. So it was really Star Wars, a lot of amazing action. It keeps getting more gorgeous every single time. And then there were still able to do a lot of character development and just it was jam packed with surprise. Appearances from old people that is so exciting to always watch. There were so many that I wasn't expecting in two episodes. You know, we got a smorgasbord of goodies. And I really love that we didn't just set aside like Crosser Redemption, like it's a continuing ongoing project. Mm-hmm. I think last week we were talking about how usually in Star Wars, you know, when characters finally get redeemed, they die or they just have to like go off into the sunset and don't actually have to deal with the fallout of all the actions that they did while they were, you know, unredeemed. And to see Crosshair, like, through the last episode, trying to bridge that gap with Hunter specifically, aside from the rest of the Bad Batch, but now with, you know, other clones in general that felt betrayed by all the things that he did. So just trying to see how he kind of makes amends with everybody and makes amends with himself as well. And like tries to realize what his place in the world is. Cause every time you see him miss a shot, I scream like, oh my God, why is it still happening? The shaky hand, please. Like he used to, some of the most impressive shots of the previous seasons are when he pulls off these like impossible things. And just to see him missing obvious shots, really easy ones, is just incredibly heartbreaking. So yeah. Well,
I wouldn't,
for, you know, for old Crosshair they would have been
true,
easy. Yeah,
true.
Yes.
There, yeah
and just to see these like clone against clone situation that we've got going is it's hard to watch too, but it's I think it's really important to see how they just don't immediately disappear. Like there's still clones that are around and what the impact is that for the ones that have rebelled against the Empire. So I think the way that they're handling everything is just incredible. And they don't, not a minute is wasted. And you just, end, you know, the two episodes with like, I just, why isn't it not next week? I have right? another one right now. Yeah. So I think that's my little overall assessment of these two great episodes.
Excellent. Clara, what about you?
I love it. Also, you touched on so many things that I loved. Literally in this episode, I mean, Crosshair, close to my heart because he's close to Nikki Kumar's heart. Mm-hmm. And I remember from the early episodes of The Bad Batch being like, hey, Nikki, this is your guy? Okay, dude.
Are you sure?
Are you sure? Yeah, sure. You don't want to re-roll those dice there, buddy. But I'm in. I'm totally in on this Crosshair redemption arc, watching him and watching Hunter watch Crosshair and Omega bond, being the opening to that relationship with the rest of the batch again. Heart chewing the little toothpick.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
My whole heart. Yes. And like watching in this episode, Crosshair literally fighting his inner demons, the demons that the Empire tried to turn him into. He's like, he's fighting the person he could have become in this beautiful waterfall and like River Rapids landscape. Absolutely gorgeous. And just the fact that, like, I know when the Clone Wars was still going on, Clone Wars is my favorite thing of Star Wars all time ever, and the clones are my favorite part of the Clone Wars. Love clone arcs. Every time somebody would roll their eyes at that, I'd be like, I hate you, shut up.
Let me enjoy, please.
Just let me have my fun. Let me let my boys play. This was exactly my cup of tea in terms of an episode. So many different clones that we've been introduced to in other arcs and other seasons of The Bad Batch or in the Clone Wars. To have Handsome Hauser come back and
see the hottest of the clones,
he's
to be honest.
So hot, guys. I'm sorry, but he is.
I agree.
Fight me if you don't think so. At Cstribs, I will come at you on Twitter. I'm just kidding. Please don't. Please don't. But really watching that story also of Hauser and how much we all love Hauser, whether you think he's hot or not, we love him. And watching his relationship with Crosshair heal through him seeing his actions and seeing him with Omega. My whole heart, my whole little Grinchy heart is just like growing many sizes watching these two episodes because it's my clones. When Wolf came back, I made this like little hiccupy, like sad noise in my throat. I was like, what? It's my boy. It's my boy. They're all my babies, but I have a special place for Dave's special boy. And to just watch this story of brotherhood and, you know, and watching them heal through the traumas that they have experienced both because and with each other. It was just, this was a fun episode. And then it was so action-packed and exciting from start to finish. I was just like, ooh, there's a lot of meat on these bones. I was so excited.
Absolutely. All that action, all that heart, it's like there's only so much I can take, right?
It was really cool because to me, it definitely felt like, and to your point, Claire, it felt like a Clone Wars arc where the Bad Batch featured in.
Woo!
And I was just like, oh, yes, this is some of the good stuff. Yes. And it also one of those things where you feel like you're being rewarded by watching all the other extra, you know, everything that's around the show. Because, I mean, and thank God for Nerds on the Internet, because I would never have picked this up because my memory is shit. But to, you know, come back to the location of the Clone Wars film, like in these episodes, and then also with Wolf, and then with Wolf, I'm just like, oh my god, like it's kind of great that Star Wars storytelling is always like non-linear, because then like you know that Wolf is in Rebels, but then you're rewarded by, if you watch Rebels, you're rewarded by watching Bad Batch, because now you get to see kind of like how the stories are, you know, the gaps are being filled. So it was a rewarding episode in that sense, because now you're just like, you're not just watching Bad Batch now, you're literally seeing the aftermath of the Clone Wars with all these characters that have returned, and especially with Senator Chuchi, you know, like in the first episode, I'm just like, fuck it's like, we're back in Petora.
Another one of our favorites. We're tying New Zealanders.
Oh yeah, tying everything together, you know. So definitely like a really, really cool episode, and the return of the Shadow Clone X, you know, which I thought was really, really interesting, and we'll kind of get to that a little further down in our discussion. But I feel like, yeah, definitely a banger of a duology of episodes, because it's just unrelenting so far in terms of like the story that Bad Batch season 3 is giving us. It's just, and if this is where we're at now, I can't begin to imagine like the surprises that are coming in the next couple of episodes.
Oh yeah.
So I thought the that Asajj was gonna come in the return. Obviously she didn't. So I'm wondering, is it gonna be the next episode? I don't fucking know. But like the fact that we don't know what's happening, it's gonna be amazing. Yeah. One thing though that I kind of wanted to discuss with everybody is the focus of like the Bad Batch and what characters have kind of fallen on the wayside, because seasons 1 and 2 are very hunter focused. Mm-hmm. Hunter's the main character, or as I like to call him, a poor man's Rex. And
and this episode we got Rex.
And so.
we got a poor man's Rex.
And then we got a real Rex. And then season 2, Tech started getting a lot of arcs and character development, but then with arms wide open, he just like falls down into a chasm and, you know, see you later, alligator, I guess. But this season is really interesting because we have this very interesting arc with Crosshair, and which I love, don't get me wrong, but somehow it feels like Hunter's falling to the wayside of the story. But even more tragically, Wrecker is like, it's even more of a, afterthought than he was in season 2. So what are your guys' opinion on how the rest of the batch is being treated versus how Crosshair is being treated this season?
It is true. We're really, really, really focusing on Crosshair this season. I know Nikki is rejoicing in his corner. And I am too. I'm excited that we're starting to humanize our sneaky boy, because I just hear a snake every time he speaks. But I just like, I feel like maybe Wrecker and maybe also Echo are being a little, and I know Echo hasn't been in a couple of the episodes because he's been helping Rex, whatever. Mm-hmm. But hi, Clone Wars girly over here, Domino Squad superfan girly over here. I miss my boy Echo too. He's had a little some special moment, like with Omega giving her the crossbow and, you know, being all cute.
Which kind of destroyed everyone's theory, by the way. Because everyone, after saw the poster, everyone's like, oh, that's Boba Fett's blaster. What if the blah, 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 blah. All the theories collapse in one scene. Which is fine, though.
Way to go, nerds.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I was one of those people that I was thinking about. I was like, that's interesting. But no, all destroyed. The one thing, like, we're getting little Hunter or little Wrecker moments. Mm-hmm. Give me more jokes. Cause my sweet boy alleviates my mood every time he says anything. Randomly, one of the few moments that he was really featured was when Omega fed Thatcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is Thatcher. Random. I have an opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, they said that this food was, can't remember whose recipe, but with fireballs spice
Gregor's,
added.
Gregor's
recipe with fireball added spice to it.
It's not earth fireball. It's not cinnamon liquor or whatever.
No fireball.
But it doesn't really sound pet friendly.
Spicy food. Yeah.
This is space
like
dog,
rule
though.
Number one of dog ownership. Yeah. Poor Batcher is going to be pooping all over the ship. Like, poor kiddos are going to be able to handle themselves. Omega, you're not helping, you're harming.
You don't know that. Maybe this, because he's a native of, we found out that Batcher is a she today. Because she was raised in Tantus, maybe
they
has
got
a
spicy
stronger
soil. I don't
know. They got some spicy food there, and maybe, she can't handle a pup cup from Starbucks. That's too sweet. She can only handle the spicy.
I'm hoping that's the case, because otherwise it's going to be a really uncomfortable flight, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's a small ship.
Definitely.
It's
most
a very
definitely
small ship.
But Nani, how did you feel about the characterization of Wrecker and Hunter?
I'm okay with not that much Hunter. To be honest, Hunter to me was like one of the least interesting ones. So.
He is in my Deadpool.
Space Rambo.
And I can kind of understand why they would do it, because we didn't get a lot of Crosshair in the last season, except for when, he was featured as the bad guy and like everything, like his fall from grace. And now we have just this last season to kind of like get that back and for him to like kind of reintegrate himself and not just reintegrate, but really become a part of the Bad Batch. Because mm-hmm. like I was saying last episode, being a sniper, he's always kind of tended to be like more on his own. And now that he's kind of lost that part of the of his identity, he has to like really try to find a way to be a part of the Bad Batch. So I can understand that. And then Wrecker being like kind of so well established already mm-hmm. and his relationship with Omega being already so strong, you don't really need to point it out so much. But Wrecker really is one of my favorite ones. So dang. I would love more. And it is the Bad Batch and it is the last season. So you mm-hmm. kind of, I feel like you have to highlight all of them and all of them bring something to the mm-hmm. table. And Wrecker definitely does. So I think we are, you know, he's been sold a little bit short this season so far. I mean, we have episodes to go, so maybe he will get mm-hmm. some awesome, you know, Ahsoka journey moments or something. I don't mm-hmm. know. But I look forward to, you know, hopefully him not being completely out of the wayside. Echo either, because like you said, we loved Echo.
He's been through so much.
Yeah, he's been through so much. And then I feel like he would be somebody who could empathize way more with Crosshair because he was in prison as well. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't been a lot of interaction with them. I think Echo was a little bit more accepting of Crosshair coming back, but we haven't really seen a lot of interaction between the two. So that would be also something that would be nice to see, how everybody kind of learns to relate to each other again so that we can be this cohesive team by the end of the season, because we know something's going down mm-hmm. and we need them all together yeah. for whatever's coming to happen. And I also kind of wanted to point out, I'm just so terrified every episode now, because after we lost Tech, I feel like everybody's up for grabs. Everyone's
like, yep.
So
we haven't seen them. We haven't seen them post this show. What happens?
So every
they're in Pabu, and Pabu living happily ever after.
No, which we know that's not going to happen. Pabu they later are this season.
Oh yeah.
Too perfect and islandy. Okay,
of course. And Star Wars hates happy endings.
Yes.
So every single time that there's action, obviously it's super exciting, but I'm like, oh, who are we going to lose next? Don't do this to me.
Me too.
And I'm just, you know, freaking out. I was freaking out that entire episode. So, yeah.
Which is why I was thankful that they did this as a twofer, because when that first one ended, I was just like, no, please.
Nope.
I need to know. Please continue. And I was like, oh, right. We are continuing. This is great.
That would have been cruel.
That would have been horrible. Maybe. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it have been terrible if, like, that second episode would have been, like, a non-sequitur episode? Like, a you know, one of those bottle ones. It's just, like, about a droid or something. And you're just like, no! Why would Lucasfilm pair it this way?
The droid that showed up with Senator Singh.
Yeah. Just walking around, meet C-3PO or something, just doing nothing. But Nani, you were saying something that kind of made me think that there is, should or will be like an Avengers moment for, you know, like Avengers 1 and 2, when you have the camera just like go around like the whole Avengers as they do like something really assemble. Cool.
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. just like the Bad Batch will assemble, and like it's the camera's going to go all around them. It's just like, we're the Bad Batch. And they do something... They do something really, really cool. They turn into like the Megazord from Power Rangers or something. They just
you're
unite.
Stuck in my language right there. Let's go. Let's go.
That would be cool. But the reason that I say that, I wanted to leave this for the end, but since you were saying that now, just like my brain's just like, talk about it. It's because of Clone X or whatever the hell his name is. Because I was just like, there's obviously they made a point to we've seen three Clone X's now. One bit the dust by way of tooth suicide or tooth, whatever the
tooth
appropriate
suicide.
Whatever the appropriate
I
term
love
is.
That term.
Tooth suicide.
That's how you feel walking in for a root canal. I'm going
or just,
in for tooth
or just
suicide.
A regular cleaning if you're me.
True.
I have very bad gums. Anyway,
oh, no.
I go to the dentist like every 4 months, not six, but that's TMI probably.
Oh, you poor thing.
That's fine.
I'm sad, but it's fine.
I need whatever. I was gonna do a non sequitur there. Anyway, but what the hell was I saying? Tooth
suicide.
Tooth unaliving, and then unaliving. Clone X2, probably dead from rock burial. So Sucks for him. And then Clone X, they make the point, right, of showing he's alive. But through the whole thing, I'm just like, obviously, it's set up that there's something shady about these clones, specific clones, because they don't have identifying numbers. They've been trained. No one knows who they are. And today's episode, particularly, they're just like, oh, we know you, brother, and all that fucking stuff. But especially telling, it's like, and maybe it's because I'm an idiot and I didn't pick it up immediately, but Clone X, very Crosshair-esque. Same rifle, same movements.
Same intonation in his voice, even. Yeah.
And then when, but, because this led me to think, and I want to hear what you guys say when I say this, because I have a follow-up after your guys' reaction. I started seeing that I'm just like, is this a clone of a clone? Is this clone, clone Crosshair?
Yeah.
Cloneception?
Cloneception? what do you guys think about Clone X and my absurd theory? Which might not be too absurd.
Hey, I mean, Palpatine came. Somehow Palpatine returns. So there's all sorts of theory. Don't take any theories for granted at this point. And I ain't over till it's over.
Cloning. Magic. Secrets only the Sith and you.
I could definitely see Crosshair being the, if not the... the clone daddy. I don't know. The cloner, the clone donor. I could also see him being the blueprint, the model that they're going for. The temp sounds terrible. I hate that the temperament that they were cloning for sounds like a weird, like, dog breeding thing when I say it that way. Hate that. Love them. Clones are humans too. But
clone lives matter. Yeah.
Clone lives matter. They do. Bet they do. Nanny, no matter what you say, fans Nanny, who don't like clone episodes.
What do you think, Nanny? What do you think?
I was actually thinking around the same lines, because we know that they're experimenting on all of them, and, and obviously the ultimate goal is the whole Palpatine, M-Count thing, whatever that they're trying to do with Omega. But clearly, Clone Force 99 was unexpected. They were just like happenstance mutations. And Crosshair especially, you know, decided to remain loyal even after his chip failed. So I think, like you were saying, even though it's a horrible thing to say, they were kind of like, that's the clone you would breed for, one that would be loyal regardless of other attachments. Yeah. So I think there might be a possibility that they found what the anomaly in Crosshair was and, like, continue to kind of try to, you know, integrate it with the other clones or something. I think there's also a possibility that maybe while Crosshair was still loyal, he was actually part of the program and was maybe part of, like, training them. And that's why he, like, very specifically says, like, you had the chance to become one of us and you decided not to, whatever, whatever. So I
loved that moment. Loved it.
Yeah.
Scary, spooky laugh included.
I know. It's the whole thing sounds really creepy and science lab ratty, and I'm glad that Crosshair is not in that, but he kind of has to deal with the fallout of these guys now being after him and the people that he loves, and they are an extension of his abilities, and he's lost his, so he has, like, no real way to defend his family right now. So we know that that one's alive, and we don't know how many of them there are. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see. And if there's any way that they can be turned.
Because my theory was amended, like, when they had their waterfall fight. Because then Clone X, or whatever the hell their designation is, dropped the sniper rifle and brought out a knife. And who fights with a knife?
Oh, Hunter.
So I'm just like, what if this is a secret invasion type of thing where, like, they splice all the superheroes' DNAs together to make an uber clone?
I mean, secret invasion sucks. Super bad clone badge.
And this is clone batch 99. This is batch 100. A hundo. Yes.
It's like the super terrible Ryan Reynolds Deadpool version before.
Yes.
The combination of all the mutants.
Yes.
And that's what they were doing with Crosshair. They were using it. It's like, well, what's special in your defective DNA that gave you all those guys, those abilities? We're going to use your DNA to make super clone DNA and there, yeah. and all
and
these
then do some creepy brainwashing on your super clone
exactly.
DNA.
Right.
And yeah. all the I mean, and it's kind of weird to say that all these clones are the same because they're clones, so they're all the same, but we know that clones aren't all the same because personalities. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
all these clone X's are just all the members of the batch in one clone. Yeah. And it's yeah. and they have the same amount as the Bad Batch. That's my super conspiracy yeah. theory. You know, yeah. you know, papers on the.
I say
you know,
the tinfoil is yeah, firmly yeah. on your head.
Oh yeah.
yeah. Well, and it's like super strange too that
look
they
at the knife, I mean, God damn it.
Clones themselves were so dehumanized, like with the they were given numbers and all these things, and these ones don't even have the number. They're literally not just an X, and they're almost. You know,
what's an clones. What's an X in Roman numerals? 10.
Ten.
And 10 is one less zero than 100.
100. That's you solved it. That's what it is.
Woo!
We cracked it right here, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. No more watching required.
Send me
We've
those
already
checks,
given you the spoilers.
Send me those checks.
Mystery solved. Heard it here first.
easier than solving Westworld.
Oh God.
But I think one cool thing, though, that I must say, since we were talking about how Hunter 1 sucks and 2 sucks even more this season, is that, you know, before he was like the Mandalorian of Bad Batch, where he just has the reluctant father with his child. Mando has Grogu, Hunter has Omega, and now, like, he's, you know, he's a divorced dad, now he took custody's taken away from him, and Crosshair has taken custody. Of Omega, and the show kind of like doubled down on it by having that little moment when she's like, "You're just as bad as Hunter," and he's just like, "No, I'm worse." And he's like, "Oh, he's like asserting. He's like a stepdad. Yeah. It's on like Donkey Kong. He's like yeah. he's like a stepdad that just showed up to be like, I'm cooler than your dad."
What's that movie? Daddy's Home 3, but Hunter and Crosshair,
the bad bitch. That bitch home. Which just kind of goes to show, at least to me, how unnecessary Hunter is to this season and why he will not make it. Maybe he'll go the way of the tooth.
Go the way of the tooth?
The tooth.
Going to see the tooth fairy.
He's going to have some dental
know what I mean.
If you know what I mean.
Wow.
You know,
all the Yellers going out to a farm up north.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, don't say it like that.
Oh, gonna go visit Tech.
You know what? I have deliberately tried not to think about the outcome of this season.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anybody to go the way of old Yeller, but I'm scared. I'm very scared of what's gonna happen to our kiddos, especially Miss Omega and her elevated M count. By the way, did you notice that Rex immediately was like, when they said M count, he's just like,
yeah.
I mean, I know what that is, but I'm not going to tell you what that is.
You think?
Yeah.
Do you guys think that he was faking?
I think he knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
He's like, but the second they said they're looking for M count, he was like,
yeah, I found
I
that
I spent
weird.
Enough time with Jedi. I didn't know what that probably means.
I found that weird because, yeah, all the clones were mm-hmm. active during the Clone Wars, hence yeah. the name. And they all yeah. served yeah. with Jedi. So Jedi weren't secrets, you
no,
know, when
no
during
secret.
The Clone Wars. So. My is
I don't know.
Is it established lore that the Jedi kept midichlorians as a secret? They're like, this is a really bad thing for people to know because we're supposed to be mystical, not scientific. So let's just not tell the populace that midichlorian exists.
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know. It's hard to tell because, like, little baby Anakin in episode 1 didn't know what those are, but that's also probably because he was a slave on Tatooine backwater.
Yeah.
They don't tell him anything.
Not a lot of access to information there.
Yeah,
yes,
I don't think the
There's
public
no Google
schools,
on Tatooine.
The public yeah. schools.
Public schools on Tatooine are shit.
Well, maybe he was homeschooled by Watto, and I don't think Watto
yeah,
is
yeah.
a great homeschooler.
Mm-mm. No, that guy doesn't believe in Republic credits.
No.
So, you
Republic
know,
credits!
True.
Replace on no good here. I need something more real. Sometimes I wish I could just talk that way.
Oh, any podcast with a Watto impression is a win in my book.
Thank you.
Especially
I just so happen
one.
To have a chance cube. I can keep going. There's only like
welcome
10
listeners.
Lines in the whole trilogy. It's late. I'm delirious.
Yes. Yeah, it happens. It's part of life.
But, yeah, and then the finale of the episode, obviously, Crosshair is baptized, literally. He is awoken as a new person from the water after being almost throttled to death by himself. Nega Crosshair. I just thought of Scott Pilgrim immediately when they were fighting. I'm like, oh, it's Nega Scott from Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And Crosshair has earned the power of self-respect.
That's good.
Yeah.
All week.
Oh. Did all of you also have your heart stop the moment that his face went still under the water? Oh, yeah. Or do you also just die inside a little bit?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I was like, it's too soon, too soon.
Like, he's not fully redeemed yet. And then again, because we lost tech, it's like, it could totally happen. It could totally happen right now. We can totally lose Crosshair.
And since that's a Star Wars thing, let's just kill the redeemed.
Like, right as you're getting right on the good track.
Like, after, like, even Hauser forgave him. Sexy Hauser forgave him. If the hottest clone forgives you get to live.
You should. That should be the rule.
Mm-hmm. The second a hot person likes you, the second that Rey liked Kylo, he was done for, you know? The second the hot person says you're good, you're gone, my friend.
It's like, what?
You can't have nice things.
Forgiveness? No. Nah, that's for fools.
No. Unacceptable. A central tenet to all of Star Wars storytelling? Screw you. Not a chance.
And your mom? You're dead.
Yeah, oh god,
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. No moms allowed.
So Hera, start counting. Start counting your days.
Oh, I hate you, by the way, for just saying that. Don't you dare put that into the universe.
I don't make the rules. George Lucas.
It's done. It's too late. He just destroyed this.
George Lucas did it.
I just want you to know that if that ever did happen, it is your fault because you did that. Your fault specifically.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to have a disclaimer at the end of this episode. Nothing that happens in Star Wars. I mean, if that specific thing happens, not on me. Not on me. Like,
my lawyers have their paperwork ready to go.
This is just fan fiction here.
Mm-hmm.
And responsible or irresponsible speculation.
Both fun.
But what did you guys think of the ending? The ending, we have like two ships, Imperial ship, whatever the hell ship, tech. Echo is there. Let's face it, they're kind of the same thing. It's flying, and then we have like the two teams of clones, reformed clones, and still clones that are brainwashed. And Wolf has to make a decision, and then he's like, "They're brothers. They're clones too. They deserve a chance." I don't know. That was good. what did we think of like that ending? Did you guys think that Wolf would actually, you know, change his mind and be like, "Okay, I'm joining. I'm defecting," or there was going to be a shootout? What was your guys' take on the scene? Nani, I'll start with you.
It was a little hard to read at first. I mean, I was super excited to see Wolf. The helmet is beautiful. But we knew it was going to be tough because a lot of these clones just don't really understand what's happening and that the Empire is evil. And Wolf, we know, obviously, he ends up with Rex and Gregor in Rebels, but we also know that Wolf is the one that betrays our little ghost crew.
Yeah.
Because he thinks that they're dangerous. So I was like, is he actually going to already acknowledge the clones? Or is, you know, he is working for the Empire right now. Is he completely loyal? So I didn't really know how it was going to go down. But just seeing Rex so confident about it, that he was just like, put all the guns down. I'm going to talk to Wolf. We can figure this out. So I thought it was kind of awesome because they don't really understand what's going on, but Rex deserves so much respect from pretty much everybody that he meets that just his word saying that I'm on the right side is enough for him to say like, well, I'm not gonna defect, but I'm not gonna directly attack you. And then like standing everybody down, I think was a very important scene to see what is going on with kind of both sides of the clones, the ones that are rebelling and the ones that are staying with the Empire, and how through contact with each other, because they do acknowledge themselves as brothers, like you can start to change minds of the rest of the clones that are still loyal.
What about you, Claire? What do you think?
I never doubted my baby boy for a second. I wouldn't dare. Oh. Come on, Dave Filoni's baby. He was gonna come through for us. He was gonna come through.
No doubts. Look at you.
I'm just kidding. There was a little bit of doubt at the beginning of that scene. Yeah. Full disclosure, there was a little bit of doubt. But I knew, just like watching the way that he was through this whole episode, mm-hmm. and they are yeah. brothers. At the end of the day, they are brothers. They share the same yeah. DNA. They are family. And I'm not going to lie, though. I know he's going to end up okay, obviously, because Rebels, but, like, I'm a little worried right. for our guy. Mm-hmm. After doing that, you know, with a whole slew of witnesses to watch him, just let him go. Right. And show respect for their dead brothers, but, you know, whatever. I knew that second the Rex took off that helmet, I was like, we're going to yeah. be okay.
We're fine.
Because yeah. in Rex we trust. In our brotherhood we trust. Also, I just love seeing Wolf and that moment. I knew, like, if that didn't happen, my heart would not be as healed as it feels right now, because mm-hmm.
this would have been a different conversation.
This would be a totally different conversation. This whole day would be a lot sadder for me. It would be sad and not excited, but I knew our boy would come through, because he's Dave's baby. They're mm-hmm. brothers. He's got such a pretty outfit, and his pauldrons, yeah. and his helmet, and he's yeah. just, our sweet boy's got this, you know.
Because I was worried, because, not because of necessarily Wolf, I was more like, well, you still have that clone, the clone yeah, commando.
I'm worried about them.
Yeah.
I was just like, I thought the clone commando would be like, sir, we can't do that, and be like, oh, crap, it's going to be... It's gonna be like a surprised. Mexican standoff here, and everyone's like Spider-Man meme doing the. I didn't know.
I was surprised they didn't do anything. I was pleased.
That they I will say
to my boy, but
I no. will say that unlocked a theory for what's gonna happen now, because I think there's gonna be consequences, right? You fuck around and find out, and yeah. now Wolf, you know, he messed around, and now there's gonna be consequences. Hemlock ain't gonna be too. Pleased about it, so I'm pretty sure that there's a cell with a Wolf's name on it, and maybe it was Crosshair's old cell that he'll be in. But we've reached, I think, the point of the of today's episode where we're done talking about what happened, and we transition into the responsible speculation part, where we try to guess or just say what our deepest heart's desires
and mostly
are.
Get them wrong.
Not always. We've been better lately. But see what's gonna happen on next episode and beyond. So Claire,
yes,
What do you think's gonna happen with your boy Wolf and the rest of the batch?
Yeah, my buddy's in trouble. I think that he's probably gonna be imprisoned somewhere, probably on Tantus, and I hope that means that when we finally do our big breakout of all of the clones on yeah. Tantus, that it includes my sweet baby summer child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The name of the next episode is Bad Territory.
Uh-oh.
Shout out to these episode titles all season for being super vague. Oh, yeah. Love y'all yeah. for being so vague.
Yep.
We got a long way to go before our finale. So I'm still sitting here like, I don't think we're quite at that stage. I feel like we're probably going to break off from Rex's crew for these next couple episodes.
Probably, yeah.
While mm-hmm. they try to figure out what's going on with Omega and why she's important. I have no freaking clue how Asajj Ventress is going to get tied into this.
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
I have a clue.
What's your clue?
Well, my clue is that it's kind of has to do with like what you were saying about Rex knowing what an M count is.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be a matter of while they're, you know, beginning of the episode, they're going to powwow and be like, well, actually, and he's going to go like, when I served under command, under General Tano, or Commander Tano, whatever the hell her rank was. Well, actually, no, she was a citizen at the end of the,
Of
the Clone Wars. With Citizen Tano, he's like, she told me about blah, 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 blah. And he's going to go into the spiel about an M count. They're going to drop it. Goose guarantee. They're going to drop the word. They're going to say. They're going to drop the word midichlorian. Maybe not in next episode. probably next episode, but they will drop the word at some point during the Bad Batch. They will stop being coy with the word midichlorian like they have been last, I don't know how many years since the Disney acquisition, and they're going to say the word midichlorian. And Rex is going to be the one to be like, midichlorians are for force sensitives and blah, blah, blah. And then he's going to be like, there's few left.
You need to find a Jedi.
You need to find a Jedi. And he's going to...
I know a scary lady with a really high end count.
Maybe he actually points them to Quinlan. And while they're looking, he's going to say like, oh, Quinlan Voss. And
if
they're like,
we got
looking,
a QV, if they're we got looking, a little QV in this show,
they're going to go to looking for Quinlan. But guess what? Quinlan's dead. Asajj is guarding his grave. There we go. That's my theory of how Asajj comes into.
That's like not that. Terrible. Yeah.
Not a terrible one. Yeah. Uh-huh. I agree. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm on a roll today.
You are.
Yeah, well, at least I'm kind of. I really wasn't expecting these two episodes. I mean, we got Hauser, Wolf, and Rex all back, you know, and we know that there's so many other characters coming back. Fennec Chand, amongst. And Cat Bane, and I keep saying every episode I keep hoping for Boba Fett happen as well. So we don't have any idea when anybody's showing up, like what they're gonna add into the batch. Just from what we know right now, I just wish that we continue to see more of, you know, Crosshair's redemption, and like we were talking about, just continue to see how like the batch itself starts to kind of mend things together, get more Wrecker. And I think it'll be interesting if Wolf ends up having to be one of the rescued, or if he defects before he has to be rescued. Yes. And Asajj is like already on the team. Wasn't Asajj the one that got his eye out?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how is that extraction going to happen? So, you know, I feel like so much is kind of.
It's gonna be like when Ahsoka was helping Maul out. It's going to be like, no, we're not. We're just it's in a
one
time thing.
This is convenient. Okay.
I feel like bringing in Asajj is gonna change the dynamic so much, so I can't wait. I hope it doesn't happen right at the end, so we get to see how her presence like kind of impacts, you know, without her stealing the show, because it's not the Asajj Ventress show, as much as I love you.
Spin-off.
I wouldn't be against it.
Don't tease me.
It's gonna be a backdoor pilot, just like the Bad Batch episodes in Clone Wars were.
You know what? That's true. I never thought that Bad Batch episode, when we saw the animatics, I never thought that we'd get a whole show. So you know what? Never say never. Never say never.
And that it's gonna be as good as it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, and still, I mean, I was like a little skeptical of season one because there was. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like you got as attached to them season one because it was a little bit more episodic, but season two and now this season has blown my mind. It's Star Wars at its peak. It's Star Wars animation. Gorgeous.
Mm. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Kiners are kinering at the most kinery that they can be. Yeah. Oh my God.
I've never heard kiner be used as a verb. I approve.
It works.
It works. When you're kinering, you know that you're gonna get hit in your feelings with a theme from an episode that you forgot about that's from 10 years ago, and that little musical cue is gonna peep in and you're gonna go, oh no.
What?
Like, wait a minute, I feel sad. Why do I feel sad again? And then you remember the episode and you're like, oh.
Like I only have feelings when Star Wars does things.
Yeah. Getting smashed in the face with sound.
Right. But that's something interesting though, Nani, that you were mentioning. It's like we know that we're getting all these characters because we've seen them in the trailer. And I think this episode in a way kind of cements my theory that like if that's the things that because this episode we get a lot of characters that we didn't expect were not gonna come back. Exactly. And I'm just like, if they've already shown us that Asajj is coming back and X, Y, and Z are coming back,
that we don't even know? Yeah.
So, like, if this is...
I lost my mind at Wolf today, okay?
Because, you know, I said the whole Quinlan Voss is dead type of thing as a joke, but what if they're married and they have a kid, you know? What if... Stop and it. Quinlan is just like, I'll stay home and take care of the kid, and Asajj is like, okay.
You go do your job. Yeah.
Mommy's going to work.
You know that meme of from Narcos, and it's just Pablo Escobar sitting on the bench looking sad.
Yes.
That is the emotion I just felt when you said Quinlan Voss nothing at all looking after their kid. I was just like, that's how I feel. That just popped into my brain, just me going, oh.
He put down the lights. He put up the gloves. He's like, he's done. Oh, he's a stay-at-home dad now.
Oh, God. I want it so bad for them. And I'm so sad we'll never get it.
It'll happen. That's not a guarantee, though. Not a guarantee.
That's not a guarantee.
That one is not a guarantee because we know how Star Wars is with love. It's just like, ooh, gross.
Yeah.
Cooties.
Yeah. Star Wars does not like love.
Cooties. No. Gross. So, not putting my hand in on the Gonja bar or whatever the fuck it's called. But I do think also that, as everyone was saying, Wolf, while he's in Tantus, I think he's going to instigate the prison break. And the prison break is going to be ongoing when the Batch and Rex and everyone... Because there's going to be a Mandalorian team-up, just like in the Mandalorian last two episodes. Everyone that we've seen comes together to do a super-duper team. Super and they friends. Come in and blow up Tantus. And I think when they get there, it's going to be like one of those funny things like, what are you doing here? I came in to rescue you. Well, who's going to rescue you? Type of thing. And super team-up. And instead of the thing that we were waiting for in Rise of Skywalker, where everyone wanted the Stormtrooper Rebellion and J.J. Abrams... laughed in our face and said, like, no. Bad Batch is going to deliver and give us...
Cage did that in a couple places, for sure.
Bad Batch is going to deliver and give us a Clone Trooper Rebellion.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'd be really okay with that.
As they should. They've been put through so much, even before the Empire rose.
Oh, definitely.
Our boys deserve to... God. Smash some heads.
Freedom. Maybe they go to Naboo to live, like in Gunga City, you know? It's just like, well, it's kind of like Kamino. It's underwater.
But that's where Palpy's from.
Oh, that's true. Well, exactly.
That's where Palpy's from. It's a spooky place.
Exactly. It's like
the
it's
last
like
place
Luke.
You'd expect, exactly. Right under your nose.
Like Luke being Tatooine.
It's like, never would have guessed it.
It's like, damn too it, obvious. This is not a contingency that I saw. It's going to be great.
Fair. Fair enough.
Great. But yeah, I mean,
solid case.
This is all theories, and it's all except midichlorian. That's going to happen.
That's going to happen. Okay. Yeah.
And all of us super nerds will be cheering from our couches the second that the midichlorian word is dropped.
Especially our friend Scotty J-Row. He's going to be like, thank God I made that video. But yes, if it doesn't happen, this was all a fever dream. You guys never heard me say it. It's not as if this is going to be recorded for posterity.
Right. To be heard over and over and over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct.
But, you know, whatever. We have a week to go to the next episode. But, you know, while we wait, Claire, you were mentioning that you have the Imperial Senate podcast, you have Baraxium. So why don't you tell us a little bit of the things you have going on there that we should be expecting that you're, you know, that you're up to with those fun dudes over at both channels.
Oh, yes. Lots of fun dudes. I every Tuesday for okay, we'll go show by show. For Broaxium, every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, I do a Skyrim stream. I've never played Skyrim before. It is my fiance's favorite game of all time. He's only logged about 8,000 hours in that old Skyrim game. Mm-hmm. Figured before marriage, maybe I should play his favorite game. So we're streaming that. Every Tuesday night, we're going through the main storyline. If you've played it, if you're interested in it, please hop in the chat because... occasionally things happen and I'm like, hey, what the hell am I doing? Could somebody like just tell
need
me
some
where
help
I'm going? Please, what is this puzzle? I don't know, this is not anyway. So long story short, every Tuesday night I do a Skyrim stream about an hour at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time for Broaxium, we are shooting the poodoo. It is our weekly all pop culture roundup show. This week, we're going to be talking about the Oscars. We're going to be talking about Dune.
Spicy. Unintended.
Yeah, real spicy. It's a pretty intense week of pop culture coverage, not to mention all the other Star Wars stuff that's going on. Well, that's enough. We just had a new episode that's about to come out. No, that just came out. I don't know what I'm doing. For Imperial Senate Podcast. So that, as well as Nikki's new show for Senate Pod, which is the Yub Nub Club, is about to drop. Very exciting. And then, like every other week, we have an episode of Imperial Senate Podcast. And then I have video game streams. I'm not sure when this is coming out, but Friday night at 4, well, at 5 Eastern, Charlie and I will be playing Battlefront Classic. And I haven't played it yet.
I was going to say, like, if it's Battlefront, maybe I'll join. But then, oh, Classic, I don't
Classic,
have.
I'm so sorry. You're like, I'm out. Bye. But so, yeah, so a lot of things going on. And if you want to find out what I'm doing, just follow me at Seastribs. I share everything there. And I've got, like, a little link tree in my bio because, I'm to be honest with you, I usually forget other things that I'm doing. So yeah. It'll all be there.
That's legit. Yeah.
And as always, we will be leaving links in the description below for everyone to be able to follow easily, because I know it's a lot. So just follow the links and you'll be able to find everything. Make sure to follow Claire and Imperial Senate Podcast and Braxium, because everyone there is amazing. We've had a bunch of everyone from both sides here. Everyone's a dear friend. Everyone's amazing people. So yeah, make sure to follow Claire and check out everything that she's up to, because everything's awesome. But yeah, until next time, I think.
Yeah, I think we're good.
It's been
It was so much fun.
It's been fun. I really enjoyed this, and thank you for ending my craziness. I appreciate all of it.
This conversation was so much fun, but this is the end. We are Triad of the Force. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, let us know what you're thinking about the Bad Batch and other Star Wars goodies that are going around. Thank you again so much, Claire. It was such a fun conversation. It was so nice to finally meet you.
Yes, and, it was that time.
And until next time, may the Force be with you.